podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace which connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Amazon.com gift card when you get a loan. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 270,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out where your used iPhone, iPad, and other Android products are worth at gazelle.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 151, recorded on Tuesday, March 4th, 2014. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Gina Trapani.
And we have Aaron Newcomb back in the studio with us. We lost Ron, but we have Aaron.
We have double A Ron, which is even better than just Ron. It comes before Ron in the Yellow Pages.
Yep. Alphabetically, you'll always find Aaron above Ron.
That's right.
Do you have an XO? Do you come with an XO? I don't know.
That's true. Do you have an X in your...
Oh, man, I have to work on that.
We also happen to have our technical director, Brian, is out.
Hey!
So we have Chad back.
How's
today.
It going?
It's good to have you back, man.
Remember like a few months ago when I said that I had another show my last one?
That. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Hey, it just was a little bit delayed.
It was like 2 weeks after you gave up the chair on All About Android. That show, which was This Week in YouTube, unfortunately announced that it was no longer.
Yeah.
Sorry to
hear. Yeah. Yeah. So my schedule's been really great the last few months, and Brian's really been picking up the slack.
It's been all over the place. So don't feel offended if I continually refer to you as Brian.
That's fine.
The show, because we've moved on, Chad.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, man. If I call you Eileen, would that be weird?
No, you wouldn't be. You wouldn't be the first person to call me Eileen since well before All About Android was a show.
Okay.
Strangely, it's a story for another time.
Right.
We have a lot to talk about this week. We'll be discussing the Google Now launcher, something we've been waiting for and knew it was going to happen eventually. It finally did. Samsung's marketing jackpot a few days ago. Twit Live on your Chromecast. That's right. Some of you might even be watching this live on your Chromecast right now. And so much more. Let's get right into it. Let's start with news. Show security. It's an important topic, right? Google is going to be rolling out a Google Play Services update over the next couple of weeks to make your device more secure. Now, just to give you some background, Verify Apps is a feature that's been part of Android since 2012. It was announced and released with 4.2 back in 2012. And then it was pushed to all devices last year, thanks to kind of the awesome Play Services app, if you want to call it an app, but basically Play Services made sure that it hit all devices. And what it does is it scans an APK or a new app download by way of Google's server-side kind of analysis at the point of install to let you know if that app is known to have any malware or kind of bad guys in there hanging out. And Google is, of course, logging on their side to scan for new, you know, malware, new kind of security issues that arise. The new update is going to do a continual scan of those apps even after they are installed. So if you install the app, Google doesn't know about a bad guy in there, and so it doesn't, you know, alert you to that. After they find out about it, you're going to be notified, essentially. If you have that app still installed, they're going to say, hey, wait a minute. We now know of a bad guy that exists inside this app, and you should get rid of it. So
I wonder how they're doing this? Are they doing like a hash?
That's what I don't... I'm not entirely sure, and I'm not entirely sure what the hit would be processor-wise, how often. But it must be some sort of a hash. It must be that.
Right?
And if it is that, it's probably not a huge processor hit, right?
It would just be a blip on the install. So the front side, the way I'm imagining this happening is that you click install, and before it installs, it does a checksum and gets a hash, and then it stores that, right? And then it goes ahead and does the install, because there's going to be times maybe you're not connected to the network or something, I'm assuming. And so, but anyway, it stores that, and then it uploads just the hash, the output of that, to compare it with something that's stored locally on Google to see if they're the same.
Sure.
I'm guessing that's what I would do.
That would be my guess.
That'd be the easy way to do it. And then you can tell whether something's been tampered with, because if it doesn't match up, then you know the code's not the same in both what's already been recorded in the Play Store and what you just installed would be different.
Yeah. So. And I mean, important to know that Verify Apps doesn't just work, and in fact is different from what they do for the Play Store, which is, I think, called Bouncer, and that's all server side. Essentially, they scan all the apps within the Play Store, and so they know this information in that regard. Verify Apps is actually checking for like sideloaded APKs, essentially, and but it's all going to be logged in this way, and you're protected going forward. Mm. Once this pushes out in the next couple of weeks,
and this will take care of the problem that we saw with apps that passed verification on the initial install, but then got acquired by other companies, and then had malware added into them afterward. Or I can't remember if I'm getting confused with Chrome extensions, but this could happen, you know, as well with an APK, that an update could actually introduce malware because it was acquired by a baddie company that wanted to do something not cool. So while I don't love the idea that they're scanning or that there's more, you know, there's something else, another process eating up battery life or processor time on my phone, at the same time, it's like, hey, you know, I want to know if something known, you know, if known malicious software is on my phone.
Yeah.
This is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. For things like this, now that I'm thinking about it, I almost wish there was like a system-wide setting that you could do that basically said processes like these that maybe don't necessarily have to happen immediately, but that can wait until you're plugged into the wall. Just like some sort of blanket setting that says these things only happen when, you know, if it's a big battery draw when it's plugged in.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be a huge battery draw.
I wouldn't think so either, but it all adds up. That's the problem, is that all of it in aggregate kind of adds up, and we already have such issues with these with batteries.
Yeah, I can just imagine the first time that you upgrade your phone and this thing starts running. Like, remember when what was it that they updated and they added the butter features or whatever? And it went through and like tried to analyze all your applications when you first started it up. If you had a bunch installed, it still does that. Like if you make a change of some sort to your ROM or something, and then it has to go through, and it takes like forever the first boot to go through all your applications. I wonder if it'll be like that. Hopefully.
Are you thinking of ART? With the last one, where if you switch to ART,
no, it wasn't ART. That one would go through and rejigger all your applications. But it was before that. It was like with Ice Cream Sandwich or something, and it was the first iteration after Ice Cream Sandwich. And they came back and they're like, "Oh, we're going to add butter. We're going to, you know, make your applications go faster." But then the downside was the first time you ran that, it had to analyze all your applications on your phone. Yeah. It took forever. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah, it's a one time.
They really needed this though. They needed the extra security because this was getting to be a problem for Google, I think, in the press, right? Because people were saying, hey, there's holes here. You know, it's kind of like what people say with open source a lot of times is that, somebody could come along and introduce malicious code, which isn't really true. But, you know, it's a perception thing. Like, I think that they had to do this.
Conceptually, it is.
Yeah.
It's always the easy story. It's the easy story to write, which is that, you know, this vulnerability has been found. And so, therefore, you need to be scared and beware. And, it's good on Google for kind of taking care of this. I'm not sure if it's necessarily going to stop the press's, you know, the press's kind of knee-jerk reaction to take these threats that pop up here and there and really just make a huge deal out of them, when in reality what you need to look at is, okay, but how many people are being affected by this, like are actively being encroached by this insecurity? Mm-hmm. And I'd say, I would guess anyways, that's probably not a huge number for a lot of the things that get reported.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
I suppose that's just a guess, though.
Yeah.
What else we got, Aaron?
Well, speaking of Android getting more and more popular and needing security and things like that, it turns out that Android tablets are actually picking up speed in the marketplace, or gaining traction in the marketplace. So there was a report put out that actually shows, as far as the global numbers go, that Android tablets have blown past iOS, iPad tablets, And so this is kind of interesting. I mean, this has been the case for a while now, I think, with Android smartphones. But now in the global tablet market, we're actually seeing tablets starting to really go past, you know, Android tablets go past every other operating system, including iOS. So, you know, it just keeps getting crazier and crazier out there. I'm glad to see it. I mean, I predicted this a while ago, back when what was that show that we did the predictions that Tom
the
was
New
doing?
Year's.
No, no, the one that Tom used to do, the prediction
Forecast.
Show. Forecast, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I was
wow,
on, it was a while ago.
You're going back a little ways.
I'm going back
one.
To the cottage.
Yeah.
So I was on that show when Android uh-huh. tablets first started coming out. I said, by next year, Android tablets will surpass Apple tablets, you know. It hasn't happened till now, but yeah. Finally, I'm glad that my prediction has finally come true.
Yeah, I mean, it was only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what every other manufacturer is going to, right? Besides Apple, every other manufacturer is going to come out with, well, and there's Microsoft too, but everybody else besides Microsoft and Apple is going to come out with an Android tablet at this point. So mm-hmm. makes sense. Only
a
matter of time.
It's interesting to see the breakdown of manufacturers as well. Like my first question was, well, how many of these are Google Experience Android installs and how many of them are Amazon or whatever? And it looks like it's Samsung and Asus are the top two manufacturers for Android tablets. Those are Google Experience tablets. Amazon is third with Fire OS and then Lenovo after that and then others. So that's kind of interesting, too. I wondered if Amazon was driving that a lot with Kindle sales, but they're not. Samsung's right at the top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Asus, of course, the Nexus 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A pretty darn low-cost, great,
tablet.
Great tablet.
Yeah.
So that got that did well for Asus, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, you know, beyond that, beyond just those, you have to imagine a large part of these numbers are, you know, devices in China, tablets in China
right.
that probably aren't
yes.
making Google a whole lot of money, but they're still kind of being counted in these numbers and everything.
Yeah.
So it really depends on how you look at it. Apple is still the single device manufacturer that remains dominant, though, of mm-hmm. course. And that's the same in smartphones, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Apple still
yeah,
kind
that,
of dominates
makes,
as far as that's concerned.
So. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That
yeah.
makes sense. Well, speaking of Samsung,
yeah.
if you're ready for a 64-bit Android phone, you are in luck. Samsung isn't quite ready to make the jump yet, but they are planning to have their chips 64-bit ready sometime this year, 2014. The switch to 64-bit would do no good currently, as the Android OS isn't even 64-bit compatible yet, but Samsung says their 64-bit chip will be ready whenever the OS and the ecosystem gain that capability. And if you watch the Oscars this weekend, like I did,
I
did.
I completely forgot that it was even happening.
Yeah, me too.
All I saw was the end result that you're about to talk about
yeah,
afterwards.
Yeah.
I was
right,
like,
right.
what is going on here?
Yeah.
Just imagine celebrities plus Samsung commercial. It
oh,
was
great.
The most like heavy-handed Samsung marketing you
uh-huh.
could possibly imagine. I mean, I can't imagine the kind of money that they spent. They debuted the first Galaxy X5 ad during the Oscar Sunday night, and Ellen DeGeneres, who hosted the event and was great, had a Galaxy S4 in her hand and was taking pictures and decided to try to post the most retweeted tweet on Twitter ever. Took a selfie of her and Bradley Cooper and Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Lawrence and a bunch of other celebrities, Kevin Spacey, Julia Roberts, Brad Pitt. I mean, everybody you can imagine. Bradley Cooper was actually really funny. Ellen kind of got down and was like, okay, we're going to take a picture. And she was holding the phone portrait. And Bradley's like, no, turn it. You want it to be
right.
landscape. They took this selfie. She tweeted it. And I think, I don't know, I think it's in the millions of retweets at this point, 3 million retweets.
Wow.
Rocketing the tweet to the most retweeted ever status. Of course, it was taken with the Samsung Galaxy S4. She didn't say the words Galaxy or Samsung. She took up quite a few pictures actually with the Samsung device, which was obvious product placement.
Yeah.
She took another picture of herself, which was super blurry, and she actually hashtagged it blurry. So I
uh-huh.
felt like she was sort of poking some fun at the fact that the camera wasn't so great. But that selfie was pretty awesome, I have to say.
Yeah, what a win
Ellen's.
For Samsung. So who was
yeah.
it in chat? Someone, it was, was it Wade County in chat, I believe, said that Wade County says Wall Street Journal had reported that they spent $20 million. Not sure where that figure comes from necessarily. But so I'm wondering what an ad costs.
Yeah.
Well, they also had an ad. They had the very
had the
first
ad.
S5
yeah.
ad.
Tons of that, yes.
Run on TV. Ad. Yeah, during Maskers.
Yeah, oh, this is...
Here it is.
So this is the S5 ad. They had a few gear ads as well. I saw several different Samsung ads. Every commercial break, you were looking at Samsung.
I mean, here's the thing. As far as Samsung is concerned, one of the big reasons that they are so successful in this smartphone race, and that aside from Apple, they have so much mindshare, is because they are not afraid, and they have the deep pockets to lay down massive amounts of money on marketing.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, that's money talks in this industry right now.
Yeah.
The and more it's marketing, paid off for them. The more you can blanket your product and around, and Samsung's done a great job with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I mean, you see a few HTC commercials or things, but you hardly ever see them. So, and Samsung's just all over the place. So, yeah, they've done a really good job with that. And I think it's paid off. And I think other companies, Apple always did a good job with that, kind of minimalist commercials. Samsung's kind of stepped it up a notch and really trying to compete from a marketing standpoint, toe to toe with Apple. So, they're doing a good job. I don't like TouchWiz, but I mean, I like to see them push the platform forward. So,
absolutely.
Keep going, Samsung.
And they've just created this whole ecosystem of devices, the Galaxy ecosystem. They've got the tablet, they've got the phone, they've got the watch, right? So they've got the commercial with the ringing watch. I mean, that's something that I think still regular folks who are watching the Oscars are like, oh, that's cool. Her wrist is ringing. Like, that seems really futuristic.
Yep.
So I feel like they've established this ecosystem of this one brand, the Galaxy brand, in a way that no other manufacturer quite has, with every size screen that you could possibly want. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with Samsung devices. I was watching those commercials and I got a little eye rolly about them during the Oscars, but then I was like, people love these.
Yeah.
I mean, as granted, marketing, marketing is important and it works, but you also have to have a product that people kind of, I mean, it's a decent product and plus marketing, and then you get lots of samples. Mm-hmm. So
do you think any grandma though is going to notice that she used the S5 to take the selfie? Do you think anyone is going to realize on screen?
Grandma's not going to notice it was an S5 because it was an S4. She's totally going to notice that it was an S4.
Exactly.
No,
I don't know.
I don't know if that type of market share matters.
I think it does. I mean, I don't think grandmas won't notice, but grandmas don't notice what they buy in the store anyway. Like, my mom bought a phone, and she's a grandma. I'm just saying, but she bought a new phone finally the other day. I think it's a Moto G. She wasn't sure. She's like, I think it's a Moto. It's a Moto something. She doesn't know, but I think that there's a lot that Samsung can do with that. Even if it's not the Samsung name, they can say, oh, I want that phone that Ellen used.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of it right there, right? Yeah. Okay, so I hate using using grandma as the example here, because I've totally heard from
the
people
uninformed
that are like,
why are consumer
grandmas always throwing under the bus, in this regard? Well, let's just use that as
the person
example.
Who's buying a phone who hasn't been researching.
Right. That person walks into a store to buy their very first smartphone, and all the salesperson has to say is, this is the S4. Did you watch the Oscars? Yeah, part where Ellen got like the huge selfie or whatever? That was the same phone, didn't it? Wasn't that awesome? It took that great picture. That's the one you should go with. And actually, that goes very far for the person that's never bought a smartphone before.
Yeah.
They have so much to connect to in that regard.
And, Bradley Cooper was holding the phone out, right, like in front of all of them.
Yeah.
And you could see the Samsung, you couldn't read it, but it was very clear, like, what the device was, not the model. I believe it actually was the S4, not the S5.
Technically, it was the Note 3.
Oh, was it the Note 3?
Not even any of us on an Android panel can figure out what phone Ellen was using at the Oscars.
Well, we got one thing right.
Samsung.
Right, we knew it was Samsung. I watched her take that selfie, and I thought, no way are all those faces going to make it into that photo.
Yep.
And they did, from Jared Leto all the way over to Angelina Jolie. So I was kind of like, oh, that's pretty good.
And the quality was good.
It was okay.
We showed the picture of the blurry one before, but can you imagine if all the shots were bad that they took with this? Can you imagine how bad the marketing would be after that? It would be like... It would be horrible. It would be a huge debacle. So someone took a huge risk. Someone had the balls to say, look, let's give him the phone.
That's definitely.
Anyway, they said, give him the phone. We'll see if it works. And I think it was a gutsy move. So kudos to whoever on marketing at Samsung came up with this idea.
They're happy to take your kudos because they scored big with that. So let's see here. A little glass news. Since the Glass Explorer program began, a little less than a year ago at this point, explorers have pretty much become accustomed to getting monthly updates, and not always earth-shattering updates, but definitely on a cycle of every month there's a new update that comes out and you have something new to look forward to. No update happened in February. Google employee Teresa Z confirmed that the monthly update cycle is actually changing. The new plan is that Google is going to focus on bigger updates, and bigger updates don't necessarily follow a monthly schedule, right? It's going to take time for them to get it ready. They'll roll it out when they're ready. But beyond that, you might be surprised to know that Glass, since it was released to Explorers, has been running Ice Cream Sandwich 4.0.3. The plan is to see an update to the device to 4.4 KitKat very soon from its current version. So we have that to look forward to as well. And I wonder, I mean, aside from, I think Bluetooth LE is one capability that comes with that upgrade. I'll be curious to see what that brings to Glass.
Skipping right over the Jelly Bean.
Yeah, well, good. If they were to upgrade to Jelly Bean, wouldn't that be kind of weird?
That would be really
weird. Be like,
weird.
Wait a yeah. minute, why not just, come on, you're yeah. always behind Glass? You know?
Well, one of the things that they did with KitKat was made Android able to run on low-powered devices right. better, right? right that yeah. was one of the main goals. And I'm sure that Glass and the upcoming Google Watch were like front and center in mind for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I have an unrelated question about this. A lot of people are getting their Explore, like the invites are going out to a lot more people.
Yeah,
to
they've
get
opened
Glass.
Up again.
They've mm-hmm. opened up again, and I've had
they're
friends,
like referral invites.
Right, yeah. exactly. Who I would say normies are getting invites to Glass, and I'm being asked constantly if they should shell out $1,500 for the Glass. And I assume there may even be people listening to All About Android who have gotten the invite.
Sure.
Do you think the Explore program should be used for those type of people? Like, a friend of mine was asking...
For non-developers,
he's most likely not going to write an app. He was thinking it might be cool to bring to conventions. He's probably not going to wear it day-to-day, and he just kind of wants to test it out. Do you think it's worth $1,500? Are the directions good enough? Are the notifications good enough? Is it truly something that someone should... shell out $1,500.
How much disposable income does this person right. have? Because right. $1,500 yeah. is a lot of money. Can this person's business pay for it? Like, is there some sort of business expense angle that you can get for it? I think Glass is interesting in all that it's capable of. Is it worth $1,500 for somebody out of a pure like curiosity standpoint? I really think that depends on the person, whether $1,500 is worth it for that, because some people are going to just think it's cool to have something that other people don't have. Other people are going to get it and be like, you know, like me, I take pictures with it and I record video with it. I don't really use it for its extended capability because I'm not wearing it all the time. It's like an experience device. It's like, I'm doing this thing, so I'm going to bring it with me. It's not something I wear every day. If you're willing to devote yourself to the platform and be really active on Google
How often
Plus,
a week?
All that kind of, it really just depends, you know?
Yeah. How often a week do you think that you use it?
I think we have to open it up from a week.
How?
And say,
wow.
How often in a month do I
how
use it?
How often
and
in
maybe,
a
month? Maybe a couple of times a month. Because I'm not using it right. for all the things. I'm not.
Same
I'm not,
thing, Gina? I mean,
it's yeah. kind of lost on me.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like a beer hat. You know, you put it on when you're like at the game. You know what I mean? It is really an experience device. But here's the thing. If someone is so curious and has $1,500 to spend on Glass, there's a return period, right? I don't know if it's 15 days or 30 days.
I think it's 15, but I could be wrong.
Is it 15? Okay, so 15 days. I mean, I would say...
I thought it was 15 minutes. Didn't they reduce it to 15 minutes?
Or just like app purchases.
Right. It's like the app store now.
Wait a minute, 30 days.
So you get a 30-day return period. Say to your friends, look, if you're that curious and you're willing to, you know, put down the $1,500, get it, be really careful with it, try it out, give it the full-on college try for, you know, 3 weeks, and if you don't like it, you return it, you get your money back, right? Like, but I have to tell you, it is not a consumer product. It's not a consumer product. The arms don't bend on the glasses, you know, and it's still, people still stare. It's still, you know, it kills the battery on your phone. Like, there's still so many things about it that just aren't consumer ready. And look, you know, $1,500 is different to different people depending on your, you know how much you make and how much disposable income you have. But I'd say generally my answer would be no, unless someone is really, really, really curious and really wants to do it, just is looking for your permission. Mm-hmm. In that case, just be like, yeah, there's a 30-day return period.
Not to mention, I have to say for myself, and I see some people in the chat room like, for shame, you know, not many people have glass and you're using it as little as possible, you know, as little as you do. And then not to mention, I should say that Leo Laporte of the Twit Network bought this pair of glass for me. So there's a little bit of guilt there from my regard. But I think
you're
Leo
2.0,
kind of
right?
What's that? Yeah, I have the new version. I'm not saying that I don't like glass, but I will say that in light of kind of the recent trend of this kind of split between people who are pro glass or anti glass, and you know, you kind of run this risk when you go out into public and wearing glass, you got to be okay with that. You have to be okay to be basically a billboard for glass right now at this point, whether you like it or not. You have to be okay with the fact that when you walk out the door with glass, you are inviting people, whether they love it or hate it, to talk to you about it and possibly more.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, it's not worth that to me. So you have to be willing to wear it out that much for that reason.
You have to be willing to be called a glass hole. Yeah, by some irate anti Google person or something.
But a glass hole, like, I suppose so, for people that just label anyone wearing glass as a glass hole. But, you know, I guess I see a glass hole as being something different, right? I see a glass hole as wearing glass and refusing to accept the fact that other people might have a problem with it. And being like, well, what are you talking about? It's my right to wear these and walk anywhere and take video, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, you have to respect the people that are around you, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people don't understand glass, so they're going to react to it.
Right.
It's not a bad thing. It's just people need to get educated about it. I don't know.
Yeah. Final quick question. How long does a battery life last on a heavy usage battery life?
You mean with like all sorts of syncing?
Well, yeah, like syncing and getting notifications. Like basically how much you use your phone, but on glass.
Well, it's been a while since I've worn glass like that.
All day. Yeah.
But when I did, I made it through a good portion of the day with it.
Okay.
Like that. But yeah, again, I think it kind of depends. Yeah, it's really dependent on how much you're navigating. So you got the GPS antennas on and, you know, how much it's actually syncing and everything. Are you in an area that gets, you know, good coverage, or, you know, are you connected to Wi-Fi, or are you connected to
3G?
Yeah. So well, I don't know if it does 3G, but anyways, that was a tangent, but definitely a good question.
Thank you.
Because I know that people watching the show wonder about glass in that regard.
Especially since invites have been going out.
And some people are yelling at us right now going, I hate you. If I had glass, I'd wear it all the time and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the attention thing, audience. Though, I mean, you know, I live in New York City now. I take the subway to work.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not whipping out my, you know, $3,000 laptop on the subway either, or like reading. Like, I just, you know, I don't want to ask people. I don't want ass to be mugged, right? Like, I'm not trying to draw attention to myself with this, you know, with headgear. And frankly, because I know this sounds, I complain about this, but because the arms don't fold, like you've got this bag, it's not easy to travel with. It's just a lot. And so, and taking on, you know, after a while, it's just like, this is too much of a hassle. You know, I'm not getting as much value out of this, you know, as it is hassle. Although that said, I'm waiting for the next version. I just upgraded. I just swapped in for V2. I've been kind of messed up because I've been moving and my mail was getting forwarded and whatever. And I'm going to give it another full try with the new version. My phone the constant connection of my phone would kill my phone's battery sooner than I wanted. And that's partially like on my phone's battery. You know, like it's not glass, but that was another reason why I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to have this on all day long. So it really depends on how you live and whether or not you're okay with drawing attention to yourself. I think that was a really good point, Jason.
Absolutely. All right. Cool. Well, there you go. Glass. Determine whether you want to shell out $1,500 or wait until hopefully someday they drop in price. Who knows when that's going to happen, though, because I feel like these invites keep extending out for $1,500. We'll see what happens. Let's take a break and thank our first sponsor of today's episode, Prosper. If you knew that in 72 hours you'd have $35,000 to cover your needs, what would you do? Would you pay off high-rate credit cards? I wouldn't mind doing that. Start a business, do that home improvement project. Actually, that's what I'd do in our new house. I have so many projects I do. You can fill out an easy online application. You just provide a few details, see a rate online almost instantly. That's Prosper. Offers low fixed rates, unsecured personal loans with no collateral required. And has multi-year terms available. And yeah, like I said, I just moved into a house. We just bought a house a month ago. And I think when you buy a house, you think you know all the things that you're going to have to sink money into. And you quickly realize what more there is to sink money into, that this would actually be very handy for me. Prosper is Silicon Valley's answer to personal loans. With Prosper's innovative peer-to-peer lending process, there are no outrageous fees, no raising interest rates, and you'll never set foot in a bank, which is never fun, going into banks. Well, maybe it's sometimes fun if you get a piece of chocolate, but that's about it. Prosper has more than 2 million members and over $900 million in funded loans. And, yeah, you know, peer-to-peer has been, you know, instilled in so many different things. Bringing that into the financial world, just kind of, a fascinating approach and very effective in this regard. So check it out for yourself. Just go to prosper.com/twit. You can check your rate instantly without affecting your credit score. For a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Amazon.com gift card when you get a loan. Go to prosper.com/twit. It's a special site just for our viewers. Up to $35,000 in just 3 days, and you can receive a $50 Amazon.com gift card when you get a loan. Prosper.com is not affiliated with Amazon. For gift card details, you can visit prosper.com/twit. And we thank Prosper for their support of All About Android. It's great to have you on the network and with the show. That is prosper.com/twit. All right, let's dive into hardware. Changed that since the last time you and Chad were on the show.
Yeah, that's new. It's fancy.
Like it. Yeah. Fancy.
Thanks to the chill room at the club.
Woohoo.
Cool. All right. So, Aaron, secure phones.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was a big fan of Mission Impossible back in the day. You know, you open up the little briefcase thing, right? And you get the secret message, and then it self-destructs so that no one else can find out where they're going and what kind of makeup they're wearing to blow up the thing in the thing. Well, if you are a Mission Impossible fan, pretty soon you too will be able to have a self-destructing device of your own. It's called the Boeing Black. It's a brand new phone. Who knew Boeing, right? It must be something the government came up with. But Boeing is developing a phone simply called Black that will self-destruct when tampered with.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is kind of cool.
It's not
going
to blow up, though.
It's not going to blow up. It's just not going to work anymore. Yeah. So if you tamper with it, it has no removable parts. So, you know, the batteries.
Other than the battery.
The battery's there. You know, you got. So there's really nothing you can do. It's service. It's sealed. It's a sealed device. So if you try to take it apart, it will self-destruct. It's going to destroy the product. And my guess is they're probably going to have to destroy the. All they really have to destroy is the hard drive, right? The storage layer. But
yeah. So how would this work? If you removed the battery and then opened it up, is it just like a mechanical? Like, I wonder how they're doing. Well, obviously, we don't know that would kind of be anti how secure this phone actually is. But
and we already know how to defeat this process
because it wouldn't be a software process.
It's got to be some sort of mechanical process. Yeah. It's probably multiple layers, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably part mechanical. You open the back, you rip some sort of tape off or something, right? And that there's a little electrical connection there. When that electrical connection is broken, it sends a signal. It blows up the flash memory on the device, and you're done.
Right.
I mean, once you do that, your information's gone. No removable SD card here, right, on this phone.
No.
But it's really interesting. I mean, it has capabilities to run on GSM, WCDMA, LTE network. So they're building it to run on various networks around the country. It has an HDMI port. But this is definitely geared towards the government or governments that need to have a phone, but at the same time, they don't want their information getting out there. So this has been, I mean, I remember when Obama came into office, this was a big deal, right? Because he loved BlackBerry or something, and he had to have it. And so they had to develop a special BlackBerry for him. And, I'm sure this has been a problem for a while for the government. So these things are so easy. It's like every episode, well, even in House of Cards, right? They're always talking about using, oh, this is, you know, go ahead and use this throwaway phone because it can't be tracked, blah, 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 you know. It's like, that's like their major focus right now in all of these crime dramas is, oh, yeah, don't use your phone. We can track you back. And then, of course, with the whole NSA stuff going on, it's all crazy. So the timing is perfect. It's just really interesting that this is coming from Boeing. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I was going to say Doug Stamper needed one of these, right? Like his version of this was just to like stamp on, you know, just stamp on his BlackBerry and just break it down himself.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, after, you know, we covered BlackPhone last week on the show. And so now we've got the Black handset. I mean, there's clearly a market here. I don't, you know, like I said last week, I don't know how many quote unquote normal people necessarily want this. I mean, there are legitimate reasons to, you know, want privacy, especially if you're a journalist or, you know, you work in government or you deal with sensitive data on a regular basis. But it looks like, you know, this is a serious market. It obviously is if you know, these big companies are sinking some cash into doing this, shipping these products.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure how much this Boeing Black device is targeted at. This word keeps coming up this episode, but the normals,
right?
You know,
the grandmas. I'll say it.
You said it. I'm so good at getting emails.
Here it comes. I'm watching the chat room. Here comes.
I think this is more being targeted to government agencies. I believe, at least from the Ars Technica article, they say government agencies, you know, Homeland Security, defense, companies engaged in a contractual relationship with those agencies, things like that. So this is kind of higher end. Hardcore security, like you really can't let these secrets get out of this device, otherwise it's literally going to trigger a process that deletes everything on the device if you try and do anything with it.
It's amazing. The back, did you notice the in that video,
it's got a little chin to it, doesn't it?
Well, it mentioned
it's got some junk in the trunk
quickly, but the back can pull off and then you can add extra things, and it looked like it was just adding an external battery pack.
Yeah, that's what
I
thought,
but it mentioned that it could be a satellite communicator. It could be here. Let me see if I can jump ahead to it. I mentioned that it could see. There you go. Endless module capabilities for mission specific things. You can have biometric, you know, with this removable back. I mean, this is the video.
Heart rate monitor.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Kind of amazing, actually. It's like the Block phone, except that.
Yeah.
It's just the back.
Can put on some Beats speakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. right. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe it hooks into your kitchen for your stove.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yep. That's some serious NFC charging. Capability right there. It's not NFC anymore. It's it's FFC. It's far field.
It's NSAC.
AFC, all field communication.
I mean, even if only the U.S. government buys this, I mean, you can see this. If they really market it well to the government, the government is just a huge
and Boeing's the company to do that.
Boeing's the company to do it, right? They've got the in. So I mean, I can see even the U.S. government, if this is successful, I can see them buying like, you know, a million of these things, right? And Boeing makes their money back almost instantly.
And you know, the Secret Service, they're all dressed in black, so the Boeing Black device is gonna
It'd be weird if it was snazzy. Called the Boeing Mauve.
That's right.
You know, on the software side, it makes me really happy to see these kinds of projects like Black and BlackPhone, because my hope is that security flaws or whatever that patches to Android, you know, open source Android, filter back down into Android, then we all kind of can benefit from them, right? Like, I love the idea that like these security focused companies are pouring through Android source code. Right, for their work, and that we could, you know, that regular users could benefit kind of in the background if they're submitting patches back.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of modular phones,
yes.
Google is going to start teaching people how to build their own smartphone parts this April. Google announced that the first ARA, Project ARA Developers Conference, is scheduled for April. Project ARA, of course, is that modular phone project that let you just kind of snap in the different parts you wanted to a phone, build your own phone. Harry McCracken at Time got details about the modular phone. There will be three different size devices, mini, medium, and jumbo.
Delicious.
The mini will be around $50 and sport only Wi-Fi, no cellular. Google will be the sole manufacturer of the base motherboards, and various OEMs will provide interchangeable components, camera, battery, sensors, etc. And we could expect consumer sales by early 2015. That's not far off.
No.
Less than a year from now. So I'm excited about this. You know, I watched the video. They put out a video, Block Phone, which is Project Aura, working with Project Aura, which was part of Motorola, which actually Google kept after the Motorola sale. They put out this video kind of showing a bunch of 3D printers and some funky phone backs and like a phone, some foam parts mounted to a board, mounted to the bottom of a skateboard. It was like really jump cutty and looked really exciting, but didn't really show you anything. So I don't know like how far along we are here. But it seems like Google's pretty serious about this. We're going to actually be snapping our phones together like Legos, if we want to, or regular consumers are, normies, as Chad would say. Yeah. That's actually going to happen. So I don't know. What do you guys think? You think a developer should go, hardware developer should show up at this first conference?
Yeah, I think a lot of them will be intrigued to see, what there is. Actually, the first conference, I believe, is a web-based conference and Q&A, and I think maybe
right,
beyond
there's
that,
a
there's an in-real-life one. But yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I will be curious to see if and when this moves beyond just smartphones. Like now when I think about it, I'm like, man, if you really made this a truly modular like baseboard that's not just the size of a smartphone and you had all of these components that you could plug into it, you do so much with that. Like you could have people kind of creating their own nest. And, you know, depending on how far and how deep this goes, it could get really, really interesting very fast and extend maybe outside of smartphones into things. And,
well, that's
that
the thing.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing is that if other developers can develop modules for this, mm-hmm. hardware manufacturers and things, I mean, then it gets really cool because
open source hardware.
Open hardware. I mean, as a maker, I love this kind of stuff. I mean, I can imagine someone selling a transmitter like to control, you know, quadcopters and stuff that runs on a different, you know, because it's better to have the higher frequency when you're transmitting to, you know, RC type equipment. So you could build that and just plug it into your phone and then use your phone as a controller a lot easier than you could today. I mean, there are workarounds. You can do things to control that kind of stuff with your phone today. But I mean, you could really get specific and really have very interesting applications. You know, will it be popular with consumers? I'm not too hopeful. I mean, I think it'll be really popular in the makerspace, and it might be really popular in certain niche areas where someone develops a module that does exactly what you need it to. I mean, maybe for, you know, medical applications or other things, you know, I'd love to find a way to communicate, but I can't do it with regular smartphones because I don't have the right radio or the right frequency or the right whatever. And someone can come up with a solution for that and sell it and have it work. I think it's awesome.
What's interesting, in the video, they seem to really emphasize the idea that this isn't just hardware customization, that there's aesthetic customization, that this is a way to express yourself. So I guess all the parts are going to have different colors or designs, like a la Moto Maker kind of customization. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be the consumer sell, which is like you can design your own phone, but literally design like the back will have like the colors and the cartoons and the pictures that you want on the different parts that you snap into it, which I gotta say kind of leaves me cold. But Moto Maker was a big sell for the Moto X and the Moto G. I mean, people like to choose their colors. So I don't know, maybe that would be appealing to, you know, someone who feels really strongly that they want their phone to, you know, look the way they want and, you know, kind of have fun snapping in different parts. I don't know. It was interesting to me because I kind of agree with you, Aaron. Like, it seems like makers are the target audience for this, but it looks like they're kind of, they kept talking about, you know, how your phone, like you can express yourself with the aesthetics of your phone with this project. And I was kind of like, I don't know. I guess I'm old.
It's kind of blurring the lines of what the audience actually is for this. It's hard to know right now based on what we know exactly how that's going to play out. And maybe our opinions are going to change in a year's time when we finally see it rolled out. We go, okay, I get it. I understand why everybody is going to want this and not just makers.
Yeah.
But that does seem like that's a big part of what they're going after is that everybody, you know, this is going to be a great alternative for anybody.
Yep.
The normals. Oh, man. If the show title doesn't have normals in it, we failed.
I think we need to create a fictitious character that is like...
Hi, I'm Mr. Normal.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. John, my neighbor, is on... Yeah.
Norman the Normal here.
I'm Normette.
Normette. Yeah. Normal and Norman.
And I'm Norman's grandma, Norma Jean.
All right. Chad, are you ready? This is a drop we haven't played in a really long time.
Nope.
It's time for All My Android Drama. Because every once in a while, drama hits the Android world. And this just kind of seemed like something that fell in that regard. And I kind of feel weird talking about it. For some reason, this story I feel weird talking about. But at the same time, if it's true, and if what we actually do see is the all-new HTC One, then it's perfectly pertinent. So HTC obviously is gearing up to announce what could be, at this point, its biggest life preserver, the new all-new HTC One at the end of this month, March. What happens when a video recorded by a kid who appears to have gained unauthorized access to the device appears on YouTube almost a month before the announcement? All we have are questions here, but here's what I've gathered. This is a 12-minute review of the phone. The kid, unfortunately, he doesn't do a very good job of hiding the identity of this device. He shows the IMEI on the device. Okay, he shows contact information. Obviously, from what you can gather by watching this, and unless I'm completely wrong, this kid has somebody else's HTC One that you have to imagine, if this is the real device, is totally under embargo, under NDA, and should not be shown. HTC Senior Global Communications Manager actually reached out to the kid on Twitter saying, "It's not going to be a good week for you, my friend." The tweet was later deleted. So therefore, you kind of have someone official from HTC in some regard acknowledging the existence of this thing. And then later, you know, maybe HTC kind of got wise to that and said, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this in a public space. The kid states on his Twitter feed a number of things. He says his parents don't work for HTC. The device was fake. He recorded the video and only intended on posting it after the device was officially released. Someone else posted the video in his name. He doesn't have a YouTube account. So it's really hard to know exactly what happened here. But beyond all of that drama, what we do know is that we are likely looking at the all-new HTC One, complete with dual cameras on the back, as we've talked about on previous shows. In 12 minutes, however, the kid does not describe at all what the two cameras are for, so we still have no idea, which is kind of a bummer because it's like, okay, well, what are they for? So I really hope, out of all this, that the kid's okay. I mean, you know, it may have been him that posted it. It may have been somebody else. We don't really know the answer to that. What we probably can assume is, with all this information that did make it online, somebody got a call from HTC, and I hope that all is okay, because, wow, that's got to suck.
Yeah.
This looks really real. First of all,
it looks very real.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for this kid. He learned the lesson. All he had to do was put a piece of tape over the friggin' label on the back. I mean, come on. Like, that's all he had to do. It would have. But I do feel bad for this kid. But this phone looks real. And I got to tell you, I have an HTC One. I love it. Except I wish the battery is a little better. But this looks really, really nice, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And it looks really real. Slick. And it looks really snappy, too. And it seems like that tweet from HTC clearly sort of confirmed the fact that this is actually
agreed.
Real. But I do feel bad for the kid. I think he did have a rough week. I don't know. Next time, kid.
Yeah.
Tape up the label.
I know. But, exactly. So on one hand, I feel bad about talking about it. But on the other hand, hey, it's the new HTC One. There you go, probably. Maybe it's not, though. Maybe we'll learn that this was all, you know, a fake or something. Yeah. Or maybe it's a brilliant marketing campaign on HTC's
front. Maybe it's a Chinese knockoff. Or, yeah, this is, you know, Samsung goes to the Oscars and HTC goes...
gets all leaky.
Yeah, gets all leaky.
Never mind. I didn't just say that. All right. Well, let's take another break and thank another of our sponsors for today's episode. That would be 99 Designs. Are you dreaming about the perfect logo, website design? You don't know how to get started. You're worried about budgets. 99 Designs can help. 99 Designs is the world's largest graphic design marketplace, and they make it easy for you to get a design that you love. That's what it's all about. You just go to their website. Tell them about the design you need, pick a price package that works for you, and then it gets really fun. Basically, designers from all around the globe are going to submit awesome ideas, awesome designs based on what you've given them, and you'll give them your feedback, and within a week, you're going to pick out your favorite, be the proud owner of a gorgeous new design, which is what you went to 99 Designs for to begin with. With over 270,000 designers at your fingertips, there's no limit to what you can get designed. You can boost your brand's visibility with a t-shirt, car wrap design, drive more traffic with a sleek new banner ad or landing page. And, you know, it all starts at $199. Projects start at $199. Your happiness is always 100% guaranteed. Do we have a Burke running around the studio? Burke said he was going to be here to show off a fancy sweatshirt. So I'm going to go ahead and let people yell at him because we have something to show off here. But while we're waiting for the Burke, you can visit 99designs.com/AAA to check it out for yourself. You'll get a $99 power pack of services for free if you sign up. A power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs. Hey, wait a minute. Is that Burke? Are you Burke?
I might be.
Oh, wait. No, actually, this is... Well, you looked a lot like Burke because Burke was wearing this awesome Twit sweatshirt
that I
believe was designed on 99 Designs. It's really hard to tell you and Burke apart, Alex.
We went out and hired a fancy sweatshirt model, brought him into the studio.
You know, it's my job to fill in for Burke sometimes. So I'm just kind of going to be here, just kind of leaning my arm right here. This is good.
I understand why you did that because that looks really good.
So I think, it's...
There we go.
I like the shirt and tie. I like the shirt and tie under the hoodie. Very classy. Mm-hmm. Also, the design is pretty cool.
Burke never wears a shirt and tie under his sweatshirt, so you've got one up on it.
I feel how soft that is.
Oh, that's very soft. Yeah. Very nice.
Very nice. Designs, they designed it that way.
That's
to be
right.
Soft.
There you go. See, we get some designs made for our stuff as well. And yeah, we've done this a couple of times now, and the results are always really awesome. So that's what it's all about. Throw a project up there. Get designs made for your project. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to check it out. And we thank 99 Designs for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. And I thank Alex for being an awesome Burke.
That's right.
You are a dashing Burke, might I say. All right. Let's get into apps.
Ooh, that's a new one too. I like
that
one. Yeah, I haven't seen that one before. That's awesome.
Yeah,
all these. You go away for a couple of months, and all this
everything
new
changes.
Cool stuff. It's crazy.
I know.
Big upgrade.
Well, speaking of changes, if you're an XBMC fan, you're going to want to pay attention to this next bit of news. It's official. The beta for XBMC 13.0 Gotham is out. So if you're one of those early adopters like I am and you love XBMC, go check it out. The reason that we're talking about XBMC, in this case, on an Android show, is because a while ago, in fact, I think I demoed this one time when I was on.
Yes.
XBMC actually does run, the front end actually does run on Android devices and runs handily, I might add. But the new upgrade is going to be really cool because they're actually implementing a feature that a lot of people have been asking for, which is hardware decoding. So when you run a video on an app on your phone, there's a couple different ways to run it. One is to have the phone itself process all the information in software to decode that video and be able to play it on your screen. The other is to have a dedicated hardware chip on your phone, which a lot of phones do have. A lot of Android devices have them. So even like Google TV devices and things like that, they have a dedicated chip on the device, which actually allows you to not use so much of your CPU and memory when you're decoding the videos, and it allows it to play a little bit better on your device. So
do those chips have like a particular name like that people can look for to see
any of the video chips. So almost all new smartphones have a hardware video decoder.
Okay,
a chip on board. It's either Mali or some other thing, right? So it's on your phone and they vary. It's just basically an offload engine, so your CPU doesn't have to work so hard. Mm-hmm. Anyway, XBMC up till now has not been able to take advantage of that, but with this new version of XBMC, they will be able to use hardware decoding, which should render the video much faster, decode the video much faster, and it'll look a lot nicer. So it'll be a lot less blocky, have a lot less gradients on it. Mm-hmm. I notice this all the time. I use MX Player on my phone, and it has an option to switch back and forth between software and hardware decode. And in software, it's always kind of blocky and doesn't look quite as good.
Right.
And you switch to hardware, and it's like, ooh, I didn't know that video was actually pretty good quality.
It looks HD.
Yeah, it looks HD all of a sudden. Wow. Anyway, so that's the new news for Android. Also,
awesome.
We mentioned earlier that, you know, KitKat 4.4 had some features in it which made it, you know, which made it run better on smaller, kind of lower-end devices. Same thing here. So phones that maybe aren't as fast, or even Raspberry Pi devices, which XBMC runs on, will actually be able to run a little bit faster, a little bit little bit better with these updates because they're trying to gear the software more towards those lower end devices, which should be good news for anybody that likes to run a Raspberry Pi or likes to watch videos on XBMC on their phone.
That would definitely be you.
And that is me.
Yes.
And that's why we're talking about it. So there you go.
That's awesome. So do you find yourself, like, do you use XBMC a lot alongside Chromecast? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, okay, I don't want to geek out, but.
It's okay.
Okay, here we
geek
go.
Geek away.
So yeah. I have a DVR software at home. It's called Myth TV. And then I run XBMC on top of that. So it actually plugs into all my recorded shows. So I could actually stream, I recorded all the Olympics and everything, and then I get to watch those. So I don't have a TiVo or anything. I have my own TiVo that I built myself. And XBMC runs on top of that. It gives me a really nice interface to watch all of that. Plus all my home movies that are out on my media server in the other room and live TV. I can watch live TV on it and all those kinds of things. So for me, myself, yes, I do actually use it quite a bit versus Chromecast at home because it lets me to do all those extra things that you can't do right now with Chromecast.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I use it a lot. And it runs really well on Raspberry Pi as well. So I've got a TV, an old TV in the guest room, and it has a Raspberry Pi on the back of the TV. And so when we have guests over, they can watch all the TV they want, the privacy of their own room and stream all my music and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like, you go to the hotel and they have that little welcome thing, mm-hmm. That's, if you're a guest at my house, that's what you get. You walk in and says, oh, welcome, so-and-so, we're glad to see. Here's some pictures of previous guests that have been with us. You might want to go to the beach. You might want to go see the Golden Gate Bridge.
Here's a chocolate mint on your pillow.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We
do have chocolates in the room. We do have Ghirardelli chocolates. So
wow.
That's my wife. She takes care of all that stuff. She's really good. It's not my doing. If it were up to me, it'd be like, whatever, dude, bring here's your own pillow.
Here's a bottle. Fill it up with water on your way in.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, that's great. XBMC getting more and more. I mean, there's a ton of fans of XBMC, so it's good to see it
good stuff.
Get more and
XBMC's
more mature.
It's a great project. It's mm-hmm. a great project.
We saw this day coming, didn't we, Gina?
We did. We did. Google Now Launcher is available in the Play Store to Nexus and Google Play Edition devices. This is the skin that came on the Nexus 5. A skin. I don't know if you call it a skin. It's a launcher replacement with the Google search bar and wallpapers.
There we go.
It's now in the Play Store. Nothing about it has.
Getting a little bit of cutout on your audio.
Some Play Edition devices.
Yeah, weird.
Oh,
Everything ramped down, and now I believe that you're back, but.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I think what we probably missed is that it's in the Play Store, but it's not necessarily available for everyone quite yet, just Play devices and Nexus devices.
Right, Nexus and Play devices.
Yeah.
I have the Google Play edition of the HTC One. I installed it. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
You can say OK Google to launch into search, and that works really well. So if you got a Nexus or GPE device, go ahead and get it.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I mean, one can only assume that eventually this is going to be opened up to more devices, not just Nexus and Google Play, although maybe not. Maybe it's limited, so that they don't Google doesn't tick off their partners, the Android
partners.
That's
what I was just going to say. Yeah. I mean, because I know the requirements were 4.4. I wasn't sure if it was just Google devices. Of course, every device has a little identifier in the configuration information on your phone. So it's pretty easy for them to tell what phone you're running. But I wonder what would happen if you went out and changed that. Of course, you've been able to sideload this app for quite a while. It came out from when KitKat first came out, people were making the APK for this available and, writing up how to get it on your phone. So if you really want it and you've rooted your phone, you can definitely go put it on your phone anyway. But
funny thing is, if you have the search app, you already have the launcher.
Yeah,
it's
pretty
just, you
much.
Can't do anything with it, but it's embedded in the search. So this launcher is literally just, from what I understand, activating it.
Yeah, it's like a key.
For your device.
Yep.
So well, there you go. And updates obviously coming through. I put it on my device, so now updates will come through the Play Store, and it'll be, I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see what the first update to the launcher will be, because now we'll get those updates to something that you look at and interact with all the time in the launcher, hopefully more regularly than just a major version.
Yep.
And then finally here, Google Plus for Android got an update last week, which I've been having a little fun with, mainly dedicated to photo enhancements with the Google Plus app, non-destructive photo editing across devices. So you can start editing on one device. And then, you know, if you go to the web and you decide you want to revert changes, you can do that. And so you have your original photo available. New filters and creative tools. I think that's it's further Snapseed integration into their edit tools. So you get that HDRscape mode if you actually like the HDRscape capabilities, which definitely do interesting things to your photos if you want to kind of ramp up that HDR, among other editing capabilities. And I was playing around with that, and it's more or less pretty easy to use. There's a few things that are kind of fumbly versus the Snapseed version, at least I thought. Maybe I was just using it wrong, but good capabilities there. A single view of all of your photos, basically a new all view that displays your entire photo library. And one thing that I've been wanting for a really long time, an easy way to go back in time really quickly, a nice slider on the side. I know we've talked about it on the show in the past, where it's like, just put a slider on the side and let me go to the beginning of time.
Right, right. And, or to this date. I know that I took this picture
or to this date,
at this wedding in July.
Don't make me search for it.
Don't
just
make
let
me scroll
scan,
like crazy.
Get to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they finally have that. So it's suddenly really easy to navigate through all of your photos. And if you're uploading hundreds, thousands of photos to Google all the time, you know, in the background, syncing to Google Plus, that's going to make it very easy for you to skip around. And then also Google Plus community moderators can now pin posts from the app. Maybe not something that everybody, you know, is necessarily hunting for, but there you go. There's another capability.
Yeah. I'm sure no, that's really good, actually, because, you know, like with any forum type place where people go to check out things, it's always nice to be able to pin, you know, everybody's always asking for how do you root this phone, you know, so you pin that to the top of the forum post and that way people don't have to go searching for it. So,
yeah.
So it is really good to have that functionality. Do you guys use the app for your desktop as well? The Google Plus photo uploader app?
I do.
I do. It's awesome.
I do. Unfortunately, I take a lot of screenshots for making videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
So if you go to my feed of photos, it's just full of just random screenshots.
You know, 20 years from now, you're going to look back on those screenshots.
Like, oh,
you're
thank God.
Like, oh, man, those were the days.
Man, look at that. Yeah. If you go in, it's just a whole, here, one second, a whole bunch, of screenshots of random Minecraft Pidgeotos
hey,
that look weird.
These are important moments in your life, Chad. This is OMG craft.
And dogs. And they're all weirdly stretched because of the format that I encode my videos in. So it's only using half of the color profile to save on space. So they're all really weird. And yeah. And then like what would my icon might look like? It's like it's saving just the weirdest projects on various sizes. So yeah.
I get that too. Like I get a lot of times since I'm making stuff all the time at my house, I'll take like a picture of a serial number. I don't know if you guys
yes.
do this, right?
Yeah,
oh, no,
yeah.
I do this all the time.
I do it all the time. I'll take a picture of a serial number or a picture of a server or a piece of equipment at my house, right? And so and then in my living room on XBMC. I just had to bring that back in. It has a random screensaver. I put it on all my pictures just randomly. And so, like, you know, we'll be sitting there with my parents and we're like, oh, look at the kids when they were so small, you know. And then here comes this picture of like a serial number, you know, 5675.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what have you
done?
Yeah.
Yes. It's
where, from the internals of your dryer.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Exactly.
It rears its ugly head when you have an auto awesome movie created for you. And you're like, oh, I remember that day at the beach. Wait a minute. What is that phone doing there?
I got that. Yeah. Did you get that in your.
I've had that on a few.
I got it
awesome.
In the one, you know, at the around New Year they created.
Oh
this.
Yes.
I got it in my New Year video that they created for me. I was like, I had to show it to my wife. I'm like, I guess I am a little bit of a geek.
Oh, do you remember that tablet?
Yeah.
Oh, and then the beach.
Yes. And then the kids. And look at that really interesting VGA cable. It's only a foot long.
I love that. I love that VGA cable.
Oh, look at the pin that's missing in it.
I
want to
remember
weird.
That VGA cable forever.
It's romantic music.
Yeah.
Oh.
So cute.
Yeah, totally. I have a bunch of those as well. Let's see here. We got an email, actually. You may remember Mark Hansen, or maybe you don't, or maybe you've just used Twit Pro a lot, in which case you're using Mark Hansen's app. Twit Pro is a great Android app for Twit content, but one thing it hasn't had is Chromecast capability. He wrote in, basically, Mark has created a new app. And so he gives kind of an explanation as far as why it's a new app and it's not part of Twit Pro. It's called Twitcast for Chromecast. And you can go to the Play Store right now and install it. We actually have a lower third for it with the QR code, if and when you find it,
yeah,
Chad.
In and out.
Okay, awesome. But so he wrote in to kind of explain, because I know a lot of people are just like, why isn't this part of Twit Pro? So here's what he had to say. He said, I haven't ruled out adding Chromecast support to Twit Pro at some point in the future. In the meantime, I've released a new app. It's called Twitcast. Instead of playing video on the device, it acts as a second screen for your TV, allowing remote control of the Chromecast. Note that even with the stripped-down functionality, the app is over 4 times the size of Twit Pro. This is due to all the junk that Google requires in a Chromecast app, and partly explains why I'm loath to integrate it into Twit Pro. He wants to keep it lean and mean, basically. Honestly, it was a lot of work to create this app. No matter what Google claims about it being easy, the Google Cast SDK is just not well engineered.
That's fine.
I know. Well, and that actually goes counter to what we have heard from both from Google and from a few other developers. So, apparently your mileage may vary as far as integrating this capability. But I can show it to you here real quick, Twitcast, because we might as well make this show very Inception-like, right? I'll go ahead and launch into Twitcast, and I'll go ahead and connect to our Chromecast here at the studio. Tap to play the live stream, and Chad's all over the screen rotation. And what are you looking at? It suddenly got very Inception. There we are.
Wow.
Nice.
And soon, you know, it's going to be screen and screen and screen, and then screen and screen and screen and screen. But there you go.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Cool. Does that mean we're in the future?
Yeah, we're this is going to blow your mind.
Yeah, here we go. It's going to rotate here just a second. You're going to see me screw up and hit the horizontal instead of vertical or vertical. There we go. And now it's back. And
this is always so much fun. If only we had 20 minutes to watch where this ended up.
I know, right?
But we don't. So there he goes. So Twitcast for Chromecast. I also noticed and actually had an emailer write in about this, that our lower thirds, when you're using Chromecast or really watching this on many TVs, the QR code, the bottom of it and the bottom of the lower third is kind of cut off. It was that way when I watched Twit programming.
Oh, do you know why that is? Title safe.
No, title safe, exactly. So
we don't care because we're digital.
Yes, but we're being seen on other things too.
Now that it's Chromecast to pay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and yes, and maybe outside of Chromecast too. We just never know.
Right.
So I'm going to work on the lower thirds and correct it because, as we'll get to here in a few minutes, as far as the QR code is concerned, people want to be able to use it. And apparently you can if you're Chromecasting our content. So there you go.
Dang.
Yeah. Apparently we do care about title safe,
yeah,
Chad.
We do nowadays, yeah.
It's time to care.
Yeah. Can't everyone just watch us on their iPods, please?
No, watch us
wherever you want,
Chad.
Okay, fine.
Including Chromecast because it's awesome.
That's right.
All right. Let's take a quick break and thank our final sponsor for today's episode. That would be Gazelle. Welcoming Gazelle back once again. Perfect fit for the show. This episode is brought to you by Gazelle. Are you thinking about getting a new iPad? Or just did you get a new iPhone? Did you get a new Android device? You're thinking about getting the Galaxy S5 and you have the S4 and you're like, how much can I get for the S4 so that I can, you know, buy the S5 when it comes out? Gazelle wants to buy your used device. Your iPhone, your iPad, your Android tablet, your smartphone, and they make it very easy for you to do so. You can lock in your price today, send it to Gazelle when you get your new device, because Gazelle's offer is good for 30 days. So you can lock in that price right now, and 30 days from now, as long as it's within that 30-day window, send them that device that you locked in. They make it fast and simple to sell your used gadgets. Go to Gazelle.com. You just look for your item. They spell it out and give you nice fancy pictures to pick from. So they make it really, really easy, including all the carriers that you might be on. You just kind of go through their process and tell them exactly what device you have, what carrier it's on, what condition it's in. And you'll get a risk-free offer for your gadgets and free shipping, in fact. They pay for the shipping on these devices. And then you'll get paid fast by check, PayPal, or you'll get an extra 5% with an Amazon gift card. So go to Gazelle.com now, get an offer for your device, whatever you happen to have, take a look and see if they have it in their database and if they'll pay you cash for that. Payment is fast, within a few days of the item being received. It's risk-free. And like I said, offers are good for 30 days. That gives you time to transfer the data off the device, set up your new device, all that kind of stuff before you send back the old device that you're selling to Gazelle. They'll actually also wipe your data for free. So if you don't do it, if you forget to do it, or if you just don't want to, if you're lazy like I am, you can send it to them. They're trustworthy. They're going to get rid of your data in a trustworthy manner and make sure that that data doesn't get passed anywhere beyond them. Gazelle has paid more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers. That's because it's easy. It's just easy all around and free shipping, fast process, no hassles all around. So take a look. See what you can get for your iPhone 5, your Galaxy S4, whatever you happen to have, the Nexus 5. They have them all. What are your devices worth? What's your iPhone worth? Your Android device worth? Take a minute and go to gazelle.com to find out. Do it now because your device may lose value the longer you wait. We thank Gazelle for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. All right. Without further ado, let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Had two polls last week.
Uh-oh.
Suddenly, this show's getting way more complex. Ooh. First of all, we have last week's poll, aaapoll.com/150. Let's see. I haven't looked at the results. No way. Dowmix won with 40%. I honestly did not expect that. Apparently, people want to get relaxed.
By almost double of speedometer. That's awesome.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That was a really cool app. Nice work.
Excellent. Nice work. So Dowmix at 40%. Speedometer, second place at 22%. Dormy baby monitor, third place at 21%. I've noticed that baby and fam, like apps that revolve around a baby, like I always put them in there because they're so useful to me and they don't perform as well.
Yeah, but limit your audience.
But but the people that do discover it are like eternally thankful. So there you go. Third place at 21% and Phoenix for Twitter, fourth place at 17%. Now we did have another poll and it was on the QR code. It wasn't because we were thinking about getting rid of it. We're just like, QR codes. You know, so many people mock QR codes. They're like, oh, who uses QR codes? But yet we include them on our show every single week. I'm honestly, authentically curious to know how many people actually use the QR codes. And the results, hey, well, okay, so 53% say yes, we use the QR codes on All About Android. No is 39% and is 7%. So it's about half, seems like.
That's interesting. I don't use QR codes at all anymore.
Yeah.
I used them for a while, and then if I don't have any other option, I'll use the QR code, but it's like, it's nice to have the option, though.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the option. It doesn't, like, cost you anything or, you know, you just throw it in there, but.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, okay, this is this clearly unpopular opinion. They're ugly. Yeah. They're just ugly.
They're big and chunky.
They're big and ugly, and, like, they just don't communicate any information unless you're holding up the scanner to them. Like I used to think that they were really cool, but now I'm just like, these are crazy. No normal people are using them, but our audience isn't normal. Our audience is nerds with their QR code scanners at the ready. So
our audience isn't filled with normals.
Right. We should serve our audience. Yes. I'm not saying we should stop doing it. We should serve our audience.
Not a lot of grandmas watching.
I originally loved them because it looked like something right out of a hacking novel, out of cyberpunk. And now it's like, it does still feel like a hack. It still feels like.
Yeah.
Do you think
digital information?
Do you think that NFC is finally going to take over the QR code space?
Well, it depends. So, we couldn't use NFC on the show, so it depends on the application, obviously, as far as that's concerned.
I'm just wondering if we'll start to see more and more NFC applications where
I think it's Bluetooth LE.
Bump your phone. You think so?
Yeah. Just because it's always on, you can connect even if you're feet away. It seems to have fixed all the battery issues. Either that or a technology that we don't know yet. I mean, it really does still feel like a hack where you have to paste something on top. Why don't we just have image recognition where, look, that's a poster. Yeah. No one's made a poster that looks like that poster before. Let me take a photo of the poster, and then that's a link, you know? There's so many other options. I just feel like, you know, no need.
Yeah. We'll see.
Maybe we need to chirpify And then everybody, do you know Chirpify?
No, what's Chirpify?
Maybe. No, what's Chirpify?
Why am I talking about this app?
Is that the audio URL? Yeah.
Oh,
it chirps out a tone that basically.
And that's super smart for us. Yeah, it's super smart for audio podcasts because if you, the half of the audience isn't even getting a QR code because they're listening to it via audio. And if we Chirpify it, they're the what?
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you chirp it, you'd be like, get your phone ready for the chirp. It's coming in 3, 2.
Yeah. And then anybody that's running it will, on their phone, it'll take you to the Play Store.
Yeah.
That could be annoying.
That's annoying. Like, I know.
That's the thing, right?
Like, what's the problem we're trying to solve? Like,
Dyslexia. Yeah. I'll say it again. Dyslexia. I don't want to type anything into my phone ever.
In your phone.
With that argument, okay, Google, you know, give me that app that I just saw.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I was waiting for my phone to wake up.
I didn't even unlock my phone, so it wasn't going to.
Yeah. agreed. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be at a browser on a desktop anyways, so I'll just install it from there, and that's the best thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
Just search, install, done.
My tablet is an iPad, and it feels like the ancient times of, I can't install that from a browser onto my iPad. I have to go to the actual store.
It
feels like ancient time.
Is this going to create like a rush now to like go get certain sounds? Like, oh, I want a chickadee sound for my special thing. Like, you know.
You mean Chirpify?
Yeah, on the Chirpify thing.
Chirpify, I believe, creates its own tones.
So you can't be like, Homer Simpson going, woohoo. And then then you get the special coupon for Dunkin' Donuts.
It's a very specific tone that it creates. It's actually the QR code of audio QR code basically breaks apart a link and turns it into this like grid that it knows how to decode.
Right.
Chirpify is the same thing for audio. Essentially,
it's
also very annoying if you're not running Chirpify to suddenly have this loud chirp in your ears when you're working out at the gym.
It sounds insane.
It sounds like who would ever want that? But
I might have to hold on to this one for next week just to show it off. So let's see here. So Gina, of you were here last week, and your app did not win. So
I believe
So I believe that means you go first.
I go first. Yes. Okay. So my app pick this week is called Disconnect Search. It's a beta and it's currently free. At some point, I think they actually are going to charge. Right now, it is free. Disconnect Search. So, okay, here's my story. Google Now is awesome. It remembers all of your search history. And I find that when I search for something, I start getting Google Now cards. It starts showing up in my search history. It leaves a trail behind. So I've been recently watching some very embarrassing 90s TV on Netflix and idly started, you know, Googling different actors and actresses, you know, where are they now kind of stuff. And I started getting these Google Now cards about, like, you know, what Katie Holmes and James Vanderbeek are up to right now. Like,
Vanderbeek?
What?
Yeah. You search Vanderbeek?
Suddenly I have no idea.
Is that Dawson Creek? Dawson's Creek?
Yes.
Oh.
Now we know.
Oh.
Yes. I don't know. I think she now has someone to appreciate Dawson's Creek with, because you were the one who guessed it.
Well, I just remember that name, Vanderbeek, because it's such a...
True.
You sure you don't want to commiserate?
Unfortunate.
You sure, Aaron?
Okay. I like Dawson's Creek. Admission that I was Googling, that I've been watching Dawson's Creek and I've been Googling stars. And I got a Google Now card, and it made me realize, you know, you just, you know, when you search, Google, you know, saves your history and tries to give you other information, right? I don't want to have to swipe away Google Now cards about James Vanderbeek anymore, right? So I want another option. On the desktop, I often just use DuckDuckGo, which is an alternate search engine that doesn't track your searches. So Disconnect Search is kind of the mobile app version of that. Disconnect Search is very simple. It is a private search box on your phone, right, on your Android device. You start it up, and basically what it does is it creates this kind of this VPN where you can search privately through a private IP address and the search engine of your choice. So you start up Disconnect Search, you type in a search term, and you search, and it gives you the results, not personalized at all because it doesn't have any of your history. And you can search without worrying about leaving that sort of data exhaust behind and having to see, you know, that search term come up ever again. So you can see there's Disconnect Search's results for James Vanderbeek. Those are the Google results. So you can choose another search engine in the upper right there if you wanted to use DuckDuckGo or Bing or Blecko. But that's all that that disconnect search does. It just lets you search privately. And you know, I don't want to do this very often. And look, I could use, you know, an incognito window, for example, in Chrome. That's also an option. He's looking quite dapper these days.
Facial hair and everything.
The beak has come a long way. What I like about this Connect Search is that there's a widget that will put a search box right below. You can basically put it right below your Google search box. So, yeah. So there's Jason adding the widget there right on screen. Thank you so much, Jason, for being an awesome demo user. Yep, just grab and drop that right there. And there's just, it's just a search box that's searched privately. So next time you want to search for something kind of embarrassing or something you don't want to see in Google Now, or that you just don't want Google to have a record of, you can, you know, go to the private search box versus the regular Google search box. Of course, you know, having your search history means that you get personalized results that might be a little better. Hi, James.
I just couldn't stay away. I had to come back.
I want to use this all the time, but I think it's a nice option. Disconnect search. And like I said, it's free. There's a Chrome extension, which you can use it in Chrome. There's an iOS version. This is just the Android version, and it is a beta.
Awesome. I love it. And the widget, that makes it way easier. That's great.
Yeah, the widget makes it a lot easier than like firing up an incognito window or something like that.
The URL is disconnect.me, which is kind of a nice URL. Oh. If you want to get the extensions.
Awesome stuff. Love it. Disconnect search. It's free. You said it's free for now. Is there a possibility that it might not be free?
Free for now. The developer's saying in the comments that, you know, they run a bunch of different servers to anonymize the IP addresses and that costs money. And they're debating about whether or not to do a subscription or to do a one-time, you know, app fee that they're deciding. They're figuring it out.
Sure.
So try it out now while you can, and then see where they go with it.
Awesome. Disconnect search. Cool. So, Chad, we have you back this week.
We do.
And, hey, why don't you review an app?
I think I will. So what I have is over a long period of time, I have been testing out apps for a specific function, and that is a fitness tracker, a fitness calorie consumption, basically a way to track absolutely everything I'm putting into my body, everything I'm doing to my body, that sort of stuff. At the beginning of the year, like a lot of people, I made a few New Year's resolutions, and I wanted to make sure that I could track it, and I started using three different trackers. I used Lose It, I used the Fat Secret, and I used MyFitnessPal, and by far MyFitnessPal was my favorite out of the apps. So that is the app that I am spotlighting today. It's pretty simple. You can see some of the things that I've eaten today. It should actually, there we go. So I went to Chipotle, so it just added that in. One of the nice things about MyFitnessPal and what most of the other apps that I tested too is that they are all platform agnostic. So I can get this on my iPad. I can get it on my Android phone. I have a web version that I can also add things to as well. Adding food is very simple. You hit the plus. You choose where it's going to go. Let's say snacks. It shows you recent foods. It shows you frequent foods. I really, really like string cheese, as you can see. My foods, which I haven't added any foods. This would be like thing like your baked bread or something like that. Meals. So these are foods that go well together. So I have spinach salads, which include a few different things like spinach, the type of dressing I use, and some cheese. And you also have recipes for those sorts of things. So that's how you add food. Now, many of these can add food. The one thing that this is missing is sort of a local restaurant finder. A lot of these you can search in by brand or by category. This, basically, all you have is the search function in the search box. But I found that truly, as long as I add a Wendy's or a brand name to it, it'll find what I'm looking for. So I don't really find that to be very difficult. And it also has a barcode scanner if you want to scan the barcode. And this is I don't know which barcode scanner they're using, but it's one of the fastest barcode scanners I've ever used and one of the most reliable. For some reason, they're doing some sort of magic on that barcode scanner. It's not just food tracking. It's also exercise tracking. And the big reason that MyFitnessPal is the best above all others is that it will connect with tons and tons of different services for free. You can do this with apps like Lose It, but it costs the pro account on Lose It to be able to plug into all these other apps. MyFitnessPal does it for free, and this has the longest list of everything. So I use an app called FitStar to give me trainings, and so any of the calories that I lose while taking the FitStar trainings goes automatically into MyFitnessPal. You can see there's the Y Things scales and pedometers, and I was using the Fitbit pedometer earlier. You can have Fitbit scales. It plugs in with different apps, different things. This is an absolute huge selling point for MyFitnessPal. The other big, huge selling point is the nutrition pane. It will show you a breakdown of absolutely everything that you're eating. You can see that, and you can go back in time, so I can see a whole bunch of different weeks. Every single week, if you notice this little red thing, you probably won't notice unless if you're on the high-definition version. But I'm always over on sodium. If there's sodium, I don't think there's ever been a time that I've not been over.
And you can
a
set
thousand.
Those goals yourself, right?
You can.
Yeah.
So you may notice that my fat content is actually really, really high. I'm at 86%. I'm trying out something that Steve Gibson was talking about, which is a ketogenic diet, which means I'm not eating any carbs or sugar, or I'm trying to cut them down. They still sneak in when I'm not looking. But you can see my carb limit is pretty low. My goal is at 30. I had 55 carbs that day, so I was under 25 carbs. But my dietary fiber is at 21, so technically I was at really only over 3 net carbs. And so that customization is a huge, huge deal. That's a really nice feature. If all these numbers are just too much for you, you can switch to a pie graph, and it'll show you.
Pie graph. Yes, that's what I want. Minute.
So you can see my goal is 5% carbohydrate, 60% fat, and 35% protein. This will be different for you. Their defaults are different for everyone. For you, whatever you set. You can see I've had very little carbohydrates today. I still need to...
Good job.
I'll probably have a salad for dinner because I've been eating too much protein so far. You can also track progress over time, so you can see my weight. This is brought into from a different scale, and so that's over a month. You can do over 2 months, over 3 months. You can see I started about 2 months ago at the beginning of the year. And that is about it. You can also add friends and kind of track what they're doing. So I have a
heckle each other.
Yeah, you can. You can be like, good job. You know, and you can see, you know, I burned 215 calories using FitStar. You can check out what your friends are doing. You can add requests. All in all, by far, out of the three apps that I tested, MyFitnessPal was easily the most customizable, easily the most usable, and by far my favorite app. The one downside is searching for food is a little, you can't dig into what restaurant or any chain like you would, or popular brand, or even restaurant brand like you can.
So it's a rough estimate, more or less.
No, it's still an exact estimate, but what you're doing is you're searching with a keyword instead of going in through a menu.
Right.
So it's still the exact same calories, but like you'll still be able to find Wendy's small chili, but instead of digging into restaurants, fast food, burger chain, Wendy's, small chili, you're typing in Wendy's small chili, and that's the only way. Because on Lose It and things like, and Fat Secret, there was actually restaurant chains and popular brands that you could search into.
Yeah,
there's a hierarchy that you could dig down into, and a whole other menu system if you wanted to use it, which you can't find with MyFitnessPal. It's free. Here, let me actually show the store page. It's a great calorie counter or a way to track what food you're getting into your system. That is about it.
Man, that's a lot of information about the food that we eat.
And imagine I was logging every meal 3 times in the first few weeks of this year.
So what happens in the case that like you have a day where I didn't log anything? Like, does that ever happen? And if so, how does the data smooth out?
The data's lost if you forget it. Normally, what will happen is I will I'll not log it until after I've had the meal. Right. And then I go, I had this. And so that happens. If you lose a day, there's just a day that's missing. It does try to keep your motivation up by saying, hey, you've logged 21 days in a row. You're on a roll. Please don't miss a day because
yeah,
you do.
Right. Yeah.
That sort of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Wow, yeah. It's interesting. I hope I never have to count my calories like that because, man, I would be horrible at that.
I used to use it every day, too. I was because I'm a diabetic, so it was really helpful to go see what was going on, my carb counts and stuff. So,
yeah,
it's a good app. It's a good app.
Wowza. A lot of information.
I don't want to plug anybody else's app here.
It's okay. We can you know, respect the other apps that are on the show and then declare that ours is even better.
Right.
Should I do that better?
Now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is yours even better?
On that note, my app's even better. So if you're like me, you love zombies. And if you're like me, you love AC-130 gunships. So what could be better than a game where you fly an AC-130 gunship and shoot down zombies?
Sold.
That's Zombie Gunship. So this app is really cool, and I think it was even mentioned on an earlier episode. Someone might have mentioned it in an email sometime at some point. Or was that not on the show?
I don't remember. But there have been a lot of apps mentioned on the show.
Yeah, so let's open this puppy up. So this is a shooting app. So if you know, I'm a big fan of shooting games, and this one is really cool. There we go. Now you can see it. So that's essentially what you do in this game is you're flying an AC-130 gunship. Zombies are taking over and you need to protect the people that are trying to escape from the zombies. So let's start this puppy up. Do I have the sound up high enough? I can turn it up.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Bump it up a little bit.
Oh, you know what? It hasn't started yet. There's no sound when you first start for some reason. Oh, there we go.
It saves it for the game.
Right. So you can see I've got the little monitor here. There's going to be some zombies coming out somewhere. I don't know where they are. Oh, here they are. So I'm going to actually go down and use my 25-millimeter gun here. And there goes the zombies. The zombies are, of course, all black. And the humans are, of course, all white because, you know, they have heat and heat signatures and things where the zombies don't. I can go back to wide view. And everyone, all the zombies and the people are trying to get into this bunker. That's the
cool.
goal. So it's a little tower defense-y kind of thing. I can use my 40-millimeter gun. It's going to be hard to talk and play because I love this game so much.
I can tell you, I love that the soundtrack is just so minimal and so...
Yeah, exactly. Like, minimal soundtrack, yeah. But it has the same, like, you know, you can kind of feel like you can hear the pilots talking to you. There's a human. I want to shoot him because he's running. And every once in a while, there'll be a battle. Like, the zombies will catch up to the humans. And you have to be really, really careful that you don't shoot the human. So that's all this game is. You get special prizes, like you can upgrade. Like I bought this special gun here, the Bofer gun, so I can fire that. So at first, all I had was the 25-millimeter machine gun kind of thing, and it wasn't doing so well. But then you can upgrade over time. Now this game does cost 99 cents, but I'll tell you a secret in just a minute. Look at this big thing of zombies coming. This is crazy.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really fun. The zombies got in. That's it.
Great.
That's it. Wow. So then you can go back. You can do, like I said, you can do upgrades. You can buy special weapons. And I think I'm going to be playing this a lot over the coming weeks. Now, I mentioned it's 99 cents in the Play Store. But if you're like me and you love Humble Bundles, get out there and buy the current Humble Bundle for mobile 4 because it came out today. And you get this game when you beat the average. Actually, I don't even think this might not even be a beat the average one. Oh, yeah, it is. It's a beat the average one. So you got to beat the average to get this game, but you can get it on Humble Bundle.
It doesn't have the lock on next
right now, along with a bunch of other really cool games. I have, if you're a Settlers of Catan, I don't know. Hmm. If you're a fan of that game like I am, you can get that right now, which is worth it, especially if you have a tablet. Plays really well on the tablet. All kinds of cool games. This is one of the best mobile bundles yet, and it's an Android exclusive. These are all Android games. So. Humble Bundle has a special app where you can go out. It makes it easier to download the games because it's an APK sideload sort of thing. So definitely if these games look interesting to you, I would highly recommend before the Humble Bundle goes away, definitely go out and check it out. Get it because it's worth it just for this game. Plus you get 5 other games. So
you have 13 days left on the Humble Bundle.
13 days left. Yeah. It just came out today.
It's a lot of time. And the earlier you get in, pretty much the
As soon as I got the email, I always buy them immediately. So as soon as I got the email, I went in and bought it. And I think the average was like $2 and something. It was like $2.50 or something. So I just put in my dollar amount, and away you go.
Awesome.
Yep.
We always love the Humble Bundle on the show, and it seems like they're regular. They keep putting them out,
and they're trying some new things. They're trying like a Steam store approach now, where you know they'll have specials on certain games that aren't part of a bundle. It's just like, oh, we have a shooter special today. You can go in and get, you know, whatever. Instead of getting a bundle, you just get like 75% off, you know, a bunch of games or something. So they're trying some different things, and they support the EFF. So and other charities, not just the EFF, but other charities as well. So you're getting great games at a discounted price, and you're supporting charity. It's all good.
Awesome. Let's see here. Okay, so that is the app to be voted on is Zombie Gunship.
Zombie Gunship, right.
Happens to also be a part of the Humble Bundle, Humble Mobile Bundle 4. Right. So there you go. Awesome pick. I love that game. It looks awesome. I have one. This actually was recommended to me through Google Plus by someone named Omega Fullis. So thank you, Omega. And it took me a while to kind of get around to playing around with it. What I noticed last week is that the movie Gravity, when I went to Can I Stream It, it was unavailable except for through something called Hitbliss. And I was like, oh, okay. Or was it Hitbliss or it was Amazon? Anyways, what Hitbliss is, and that's the app that I'm going to feature, is a way for you to fund renting through services like Amazon by watching ads. Ah. It's interesting how they do it. So first of all, I'll say earlier today, I at my desk, I ended up watching, in air quotes, maybe a half an hour worth of ads, right? I just kind of left it on. And what it does is it every once in a while, it pops up a little thing, you know, with like, are you watching? And the faster you get to it, the more credit you get. Mm. And the longer that you do that, the more it kind of builds up and what they call the trust level. So the more ads you watch and the quicker you are to respond when they ask, are you still watching, the higher your trust level gets, the less you're prompted. So the more, you know, the ads can play without you having to be there, right, to trigger it. And what ads you watch, you earn credits with, and those credits can be redeemed for video rentals, essentially. So if you're not, you know, Amazon Prime or whatever member, you can still rent through Amazon, for example, or Hitbliss has their own videos that are part of their library that you can rent as well using these credits. So in a half an hour, I basically got $6 worth of credit. So a half an hour spent, $6 worth of credit translates into, and you can show my screen here. I can kind of show you the library here, right? You know, just a bunch of different things available through here. And you'll also see down at the bottom of these movies, Amazon.com for the things that are offered through Amazon. So I could use this $6 credit, and I'm basically going to throw this away because I haven't actually redeemed it, and I'm probably not going to watch this. But hey, let's go to Let Me Explain, whatever. And I'll go ahead and, oh, it's a 99 cent rental. Perfect. Okay, so I would have to enter in my credentials. So essentially, and I'm not going to do that. But essentially, I could redeem that right now, start my 24 hour period. How did I get that? I watched, you know, a certain amount of time of ads and told it that I was still watching. And I did this while I was just, you know, doing other things, setting up for the show, essentially. Like I said, a half an hour earned me the maximum balance, which is $6. So at any one time, you can have $6 of credit built up. If I was to use that down and then build up again, I could. There's a weekly limit of 5 Amazon movies or TV episodes that you can redeem. There is no limit on the content that Hitbliss holds a license to. But it's just kind of an interesting way to kind of, you know, get free content, essentially. If Gravity is on Amazon and I don't want to pay, let's say, I don't mind paying it, but if I don't want to pay $4 to rent Gravity, spend a half an hour casually kind of glancing at ads while I was doing my work, and now it's paid for. And so I can go home and watch it tonight, as an example. And I don't know. It's kind of an interesting way to you know, fund your viewing habits, essentially. It's called Hitbliss. It is free. And the interface, I wish I had realized that I need to sign into my Amazon account, because I'm not going to do that now because I can't remember my password off the top of my head. But if I wish I had realized that, because I could show off the interface while it's playing an ad, right, and kind of what happens when you need to trigger saying I'm still here, because they do it in a really kind of graceful, easy to look at way. It's designed pretty well. So.
Now, you don't watch the movie in Hipless, right? You just buy it in Hipless.
Yeah,
and then you go to Amazon Instant or whatever.
You redeem that through Prime. Amazon. Yeah, right, and okay, then, yeah, you can watch it on your PS3 or whatever.
And
you
is
have
Google, Amazon. Is the Play Store part of that too?
Play Store is not part of that at this time. But who knows? Maybe it will be at some point. Having the Amazon library, though, that's pretty decent.
There's
a decent amount of stuff through there. Personally, I'm a Prime member, so a lot of this stuff I would have access to anyways, but kind of a cool service. And actually, with Prime, I'm not sure that a movie like Gravity, a brand new movie, would immediately be available as a free streaming feature through Prime. You still have to rent it.
Right.
Therefore, in this regard, it would be paid for. So. Yeah.
I'm curious about how, like, what it does. Does it credit your Amazon account, like, with a gift card? Or, like, how are you
paying? Yes, it's a gift card redemption thing.
Okay, so, like, Hipless credits your account, your Amazon account with your $6 or whatever.
Right. And Bleak in the chat room asks, what happens when you turn the media volume down? You can only turn down a certain level. Past a certain level, it automatically pauses it and says, you can't turn down anymore. And still watch, because then they know that, like, you're tuning it out, right? So I had to have it up. It really wasn't that loud that I had to have it up. It was very easy for me to still tune it out. But interesting.
Pro tip, plug in headphones.
You can just plug in headphones. Exactly. You can just plug that in.
Plug in headphones or unplug your speakers if you're on a desktop or something.
Yeah. I think the trick really with this is to be engaged with it enough to see the prompt that comes up. And that's how they really get you to kind of stay connected. Because was I totally focused on, you know, editing the show and getting the show ready when this was happening? No, I kept glancing down. And after a while, I was like, okay, they really do have my attention here. Because if I don't respond to it quickly, you get more credit the faster you respond to it.
Right.
So it's like it appears on the screen. And if you immediately hit it, you actually get, like, you know, 5 credits. And it has this kind of progress bar that says, okay, you've built up to here. If you wait a few seconds, you see that kind of go down and your credit for that response is less. Because it knows you're not paying attention to it immediately.
Right.
So.
Well, I like that a lot better than, pre-roll ads where you're forced to watch it, like, before you see the thing. And it's like,
It
drives me bananas, you know. But at least this way, you're getting something out of it. I still don't know if I do it at this stage of my life.
Yeah, I know.
Just pay the $3 or $4 bucks. But it's interesting. It's an interesting model, I think, for other people. Maybe if it takes off, it'll be something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
People like to save money.
Yeah.
Sometimes you sit down, you know, we're so used to these streaming services that we have memberships to.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, I have to pay another $4 to stream that thing? Even though that's all we did
back
10 years ago, five years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Go to Blockbuster, it was like $5 or
something. Right, exactly.
So.
And now that's kind of changed a little bit. So here's an alternative.
It's also interesting that they have an upper limit. That's interesting to me. So there's no... Someone could, I'm sure, write something that goes out and pushes the button for you. So,
but it's only gonna
get you $6 at a time. So, and there's a weekly max, you said too. So,
with Amazon content, it's 5 movies or
5
TV
movies. Yeah. So, I mean, there's really no incentive for someone to go out and write something to hack this thing because, you know, it seems like they've kind of balanced it out a little
bit. Yeah. It's got a nice balance to it, I think. So, that is Hipless. All right, let's wrap up this show because I just realized we're going a little long. AAApoll.com/151 is the place to go to place your vote as your favorite app. Hipless, Calorie Counter, MyFitnessPal. It's Calorie Counter - MyFitnessPal, Zombie Gunship, or Disconnect Search. And I have a feeling this week's going to be a pretty tight race. I think it's going to be pretty close because all the apps did really well in the demos. So there we go. We'll see what happens right now. MyFitnessPal and Zombie Gunship tied at first. All right. Fantastic time, you guys. It was a lot of fun. Aaron, where can people find you?
As always, you can find me on Google+. I'm there all the time. That's where I hang out. You can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter, of course. I always say that because I repost everything there. But if you want to engage with me, make comments on what I say, and I usually respond to people. If you ask me a question, you know, I try to respond with things that I'm making or working on, a lot of projects that I do at home. And so I people ask, oh, where did you get that? Where did you buy it? How did you do it? And I always respond to people, or try to anyway. So definitely follow me on Google+, Facebook, or Twitter. You can also follow me right here on the Twit Network. I'm often on Floss Weekly, of course, All About Android, And I haven't been on This Week in Google for a
you
while.
Should
Chad,
be.
Gina, hello.
Do you want to be on tomorrow?
Knock, knock, knock.
We got to work on that.
You want to be on tomorrow?
Let's talk. Seriously. But yeah, so you can find me.
you need to talk to Chad after
talk
the show,
to Chad
apparently.
Right now.
Chad really needs to talk to you.
Yeah, so anyway, so yeah, definitely follow me here. Also, if you're in the Solano County area, we recently started up a makerspace in my hometown of Benicia. And we've been having meetings and been getting a lot of good response. People have been loving it. Last night we had a 3D printing workshop, and a lot of people came for that. It was a lot of fun. So if you're in kind of the Solano County or Martinez, California, Antioch, Concord, California area, you might want to come up and check us out. That's Benicia Makerspace. You can find us on Meetup and find all our meetings there. So just a little local shout out there if I can.
Radical. Of course you can. And okay. Thank you once again for coming on.
Oh, yeah, you
it's
bet.
It's always a pleasure having
you. Yeah, you guys are great. I love hanging out with you guys. So.
Sweet.
Love having you.
Gina, what you up to?
You can find me on Twitter at Gina Trapani and see everything that I'm up to at ginatrapani.org. I also host another show on the Twit Network This Week in Google, during which we also discuss Android and Google and Facebook and Twitter and all things cloud. That's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And it looks like Aaron's going to be on tomorrow. So you should come watch.
That's right.
Aaron's like, I got to talk
to
Chad.
Jeff and Leo. Yeah. So great show tonight, guys. A lot of fun.
Right on. Thank you, Gina. And Chad. This week in you? No, wait a minute. Ooh. Oh, I'm sorry. Sore subject.
Dang. But sorry, I'm still doing YouTube. You can head on over to youtube.com/omgchad if you want. You can also follow me on Twitter. Literally, like hours before the show, I just passed 10,000 Twitter followers.
So. And then I unfollowed you.
Yeah, and and you know what? Part of me thought, like, man, this is I'm gonna make a cake for everyone, and everyone will get 0.01% of the cake, something like that. I can't do math that fast. For helping me out, so
everyone will get some.
Everyone will get a crumb.
Some,
yeah, it'll be great.
Everybody gets one Bitcoin. Brought to you by Gox.
Yes,
right.
Oh, wait
a minute. Awesome. Well, thanks for stepping in, Chad.
No problem.
Good having you back.
Thanks. It was fun to be back.
You can find
what about you, Jason? How about
thanks.
Do you have anything to plug?
I
do you have anything
I missed
to plug,
that.
Jason?
Brian never throws it back to me, man.
No, how
I've
about
missed you. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell, music at yellowgoldmusic.com, and you know, tech news today, working on some other shows, including an Android app show that I really have to get to work on a little bit more. Probably work on that this week, but stuff is in the pipeline. But that is it for this week for All About Android. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you, first of all, to the chat room, because you guys are always awesome. You're there keeping us honest, and you guys are super dedicated, and I love you. You can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can also send us an email or a video mail link to AAA@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We're also on Google+. There's a community there. Just search for All About Android. You'll find all our stuff. Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com to vote up and down stories that can be included in the show. You'll find our show notes, our past episodes. Those are all on our site at twit.tv/AAA, as well as YouTube and iTunes. Just search for All About Android. You'll find us. And you can catch us live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye.
Bye. Ooh, it got stressful.
You almost
I choked at the very end. I literally choked. I was like.